Welcome, everybody, to Reaper Lecture 5. This is editing part 2. Last week, we talked a whole lot about time selections and how to manipulate time selections. We're going to continue manipulating things, but this time we're going to work on items and a lot of different things you can do with those. Before we get into that, though, did anyone have any questions about anything related to time selections?
Or did anyone have a particularly good or bad editing experience they want to talk about? I do know there's been a few rather funny edits that people have done of both the Apple interview and Darren, and I'd love to show some of those to you, because I think after hearing all of this stuff, as much as you will have heard it, a little bit of reprieve would be well deserved.
Did you get mine, Dick? It's rusty.
Yes, I did, and I will be grading them, the ones I haven't gotten to, after class.
Well, like I said, there was that one thing where Darren is saying the specs on his computer, and there's this one long throat clear where he's saying, this is going to have Windows 7, you know, in that area, and I just had no idea the hippest way to cut that. I took a shot
Sometimes
at it.
Sometimes you just can't.
That was it's what just... I that was what I got, and I'll send you what I did. You know, I came as close as I could.
You know, it was sort of fun working on it.
So I will say that you guys have a couple of weeks. So, you know, if you find something easier to work with once you kind of learn about items or something today, feel free to try it again. I did see a couple of you guys turn it in already. So if you want to be like, oh, scrap that. That was my first try. Let me try again. Feel free.
I'm going for Darren. It's hard to believe he's a radio broadcaster after all that clearing the throat.
We're going to go back to the 1, 2, 3 assignment. So if you want to follow along and you didn't save your last project, feel free to record another.
Or you can go into, remember we talked about the paths? You can go into your Reaper temp folder if you've set it up that way, and you can find your recording from last week and pull it back in. Yep. Remember, when you save a recording in Reaper, that's saved independently of your project. You can do a project in Reaper and not save it, but any recordings you will have made along the way are saved. So your 1, 2, 3 still exists on your drive unless you've actively deleted it. So you don't have to re-record anything if you don't want to. You can go back and pull yours into Reaper and find it.
Unless you have a whole lot of files and then just, you know, say never mind. That happens to me sometimes, like because I don't clean my temp directory as often as I should. And I get lots of random little files.
Yeah, I've had gigs pile up before just from being sloppy. So that's something to know and pay attention to, the size of the directory containing all of your Reaper temp data, all of your unassociated recordings and peak files.
Mm-hmm. So I have a project already recorded here. So it starts very much 9, 8. Yeah, apparently I don't know how to count very well. So we're going to fix this, but I'm going to do it and show you guys how to fix this by editing using items instead of a time selection. Now, why might someone want to use items instead of a time selection? In this case, it doesn't really matter, but in some cases, you can have multiple tracks in a project, and if you're not careful, you can edit using the time selections and end up splitting items across the entire project instead of just the one track that you're working on. So if you're working on a vocal, or if you're working on, I don't know, any number of projects that you could be working on, if you're working on a mashup, if you're working on a composition of some kind, that could get messy. What we're going to do first is we're going to learn how to split, because right now I have this one big long item and I want to split it into chunks. In layman's terms, I want to make this big long string of letters into words. Kind of think of it that way. So we're going to go to the top with Control Home and I'm going to split my first item. So I'm going to hear the word one, and then I press space to play and then I press Control Space to pause. Now here I can press the letter S.
One item added.
And it says one item added. Now, the letter S is finicky for the following reasons. If you have in the project more than one track and you have multiple tracks selected, it will split across the tracks that are selected. So if you only have one track selected, then your S key will work just fine, generally speaking. But if I had two tracks in this project, or if I had more tracks in this project and I didn't have any selected, or if I had, you know, a couple of them selected, or if I had all of them selected for some reason, and if I pressed S, it would split all the items there. So that's a little bit finicky. So for right now, that's what I'll use. If you want to make sure that you will split items on the track that you're working on, and you're not 100% sure what you have selected, two things you can do. You can either press Control Shift Space and it'll tell you what's selected, or if you don't want to bother and you just kind of want to split these items on this track, you just want to make sure that this track is selected and the item that you're working on is selected, you can use the letter A to split items as well. And what that does is it selects the current item that you're working on and then splits. So the difference between A and S is that S will split across multiple tracks if multiple tracks are selected, and A will select the current item that you're working on and then split.
Well, if multiple tracks are selected, how does it know what the current item is?
It doesn't. It just makes a split. Like, it doesn't know this is the current item. It just splits right where the edit cursor is. So right where you're scrubbing. When you're scrubbing with your arrows, that's moving your edit cursor. So it splits anywhere.
Right, but if you have multiple tracks selected and you press A, will it make the split across all? It won't make the split across all the tracks?
Kevin is right. With the new thing that Jamie coded in Osara, when you do A and you have like three tracks selected, since now A is select item under edit cursor on selected tracks, it would actually split on all tracks. So Kevin is actually right. Because the fact that Osara now changes context, focus, whatever you want to call it, when you have one item selected or two or three, A is even more useful than what it was before, because now you can also choose on how many tracks you split, because you can do a non-contiguous selection and split on only the tracks that you want, which is very cool.
Okay, well then therefore, what is the difference between A and S then?
S sometimes splits on all tracks even though you don't have them selected. A does not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's say, for instance, you cleared, because you can clear your time selection with escape key, and you can clear your track selections with shift escape. So let's say for some reason you cleared all your selections and you pressed S on your edit and you just moved around with your edit cursor, but you didn't have a specific track selected. If you pressed S, it would split along down all the tracks.
Yep. And if you press A, you won't get any splits because it won't know what to select, since you have zero things selected, either tracks or item, and that won't select anything on selected tracks because, hey, you have no selected tracks. So A will see the selected tracks. S won't care.
Yep, S will split regardless. If you don't have anything selected and you just move around with your edit cursor, S will split at your edit or play cursor. A has to have something selected to split. So that's the difference. So I'm going to go ahead and use S because I don't have any other tracks. But those are the differences between A and S. So I'm going to split this some more, get all the numbers out. And there's another little trick we can do here. So I can navigate between items by pressing my control key and the left and right arrow keys. 202 counting 102 counting 170. 202 counting 170,424,30.18%. So that's two items. I have two items, and so I'm on item two right now. But I want to get quickly to the next number because I have too much space. So what I can do here on this item, the second item, is press the tab key, and that moves me to the next transient. Derek or Gianluca can totally define what a transient is.
It is not a person on a street.
No.
It is a spike in the audio. It could be anything from a finger snap to a hand clap to the hit of a snare drum or a kick drum. It could
or
be
a percussive consonant.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Percussive consonant, exactly. Could be. Could be.
So I'm going to just tap here to this next transient. Two. Now, the problem is that the transient was just a tad bit too far into the T. So what I'll do is I'll scrub back with my left arrow key just a tiny bit. Two. 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 So there you go. You hear that. Two.
The number you have reached.
Sorry.
It does kind of sound like that, doesn't it?
Or something like, the number you have dialed could be switched off or out of reach. Please try again later. That's what we get here when we call a number which is not on.
So I'm going to press S right here where this 2 is. 2. And split that. So I'm just going to keep doing this until all the stuff is split.
3, 0, 2, counting 1.
So I have 3 items now. I can go to number 3. 2. 8.
3, 0, 2.
2. There's a problem here. So, whoops. 3. We have a mistake. So we can do the first method, which is Derek's way with the time selection. And in this case, we actually could do that because we could go and take out the time selection and get rid of it. But if you had other tracks, that could pose an issue. We're going to assume that I do have other tracks, and I'm going to do it the way that I would do it if I had to get the mistake out. So let's edit this mistake. So I'm going to press play, and then I'm going to get to where the mistake is
by using the transient.
2, 8, 3.
1, 4.
I just split the item there, and I'm going to split again because I'm going to split on either side of the mistake. So I just split on the left side of the mistake, and I'm going to split now on the right side of the mistake. Now, if I split on the right side of the mistake, what do you think I'm going to do with the actual middle, the mistake?
Trash
it. You're going to select and delete it.
Yep.
You're selecting with A, right?
I mean,
you're splitting with A, excuse
me. I'm splitting with S, but you can split with A. A is fine. So I'm going to get to the right side of the mistake. 8, 3. I moved to the transient again, where 3 was, with tab, and I pressed S. So now I have the middle item split off nicely. So if I were to play this middle item with Control Alt Space, that's play item once, it would just play that middle item. Now, Derek does say it's unreliable for him. 8, 8, So mine works just fine. So we're going to go ahead and get rid of this with the delete key, just like any selection. Now you navigate to the item, like I said, with control left and right arrow key. So I'm on the item right now because I played it. So I'm just going to press delete.
One item removed.
Now if we go back an item and we just play 3, 4, 5, whoops.
3, 0, 2, counting 1.
2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Now, hold on a second because I think I actually cheated.
No effects.
Yeah, check your ripple. Yep.
I did cheat. Sorry, guys. I went ahead. I jumped ahead.
Let me undo that, actually.
Undo change item selection. Undo delete items. Ripple all tracks. Ripple off.
I'll get to ripple in a second. But your default track state should be off. You can check that with Alt-Shift-P. Make sure everyone's track is that way before we move on. Yes, everyone good?
All good.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that again because I broke that.
3, 0, 2, count, 3, 0, 2 counting 170. 3, 4, 0, 2 counting.
8. Whoops. 3.
5, 0, 2 counting. 4, 0, 2.
Okay. So I want to go to item 4. Now I'm going to delete this item 4 because that was my middle item that I was splitting.
One item removed.
Now let's go back.
3, 0, 2 counting 170,424,30.2.
2. 3, 4. Well, that's nice. It deleted, but now I have this big, huge space.
Because ripple is off, right?
Correct. Now, we are kind of jumping ahead. What we could do is manually move this big item down. And that's actually what I was going to show you first in case you need to move an item for any reason. And you may, like a lot of times you do, even after ripple gets done with it, which we'll get to in a second. So we'll get to this big item here. 3. And I need my metronome on because I was using the metronome to do this recording. So you don't have to, but I was to try to keep in beat with the thing.
Metronome on. 4, 0, 2 counting 170,424,30.flag.
So you can nudge an item a little bit at a time with 4 and 6 on the numpad or comma and period on your keyboard. 4 and 6 on your numpad will nudge your item a little bit dependent on your zoom ratio. So will period and comma should you not have your numpad keys. With that being said, though, first, what I actually want to do, because I don't want to actually press 4 a whole bunch of times, I'm actually going to go to this last item, and I'm going to cut and paste it somewhere. Who can tell me how to cut and paste?
Control X and Control V?
Yep, correct. So I'm going to select this word or item, in this case, and I'm going to cut it, and then I'm going to find where it's supposed to go, and then paste it with Control V. So let's do that. What I'll actually do is I'll paste it a little bit off so that we actually have to move it with 4 or 6, just so you can see how that works.
402. One item removed. 3 0.
2. 2. 2.
One item added. 4 0.
2.
4. 4.
Whoops. I pasted it sort of too far. I put it right on top of each other. So they both kind of.
Bottom blend. Bottom blend.
Oops. So they both kind of overlapped on each other. So let's move it. 2. 3. 4, 2, 3. So let's moving it with 6. 2, 3. 3. Oop, now I moved it too far. But now you get the idea. Now I have to move it back with 4. And it's the same item that I'm 3, 3. There you go. 3, 4, 5, 3, 4, 5. So now if you hear it so far, it says 1, 2, 3, 4. So let's split somewhere else. But let's not split all of these. 3, 4, 5, 7, 6. Oops. 7 does not come before 6. 7, 5, 7. So I went to the 5. Then I control space to play. Then I paused it. And then I tabbed to the next transient. Now, who noticed the problem with that transient on 7? Here, let me turn the metronome off. 7, 7, 7.
It's missing like part of.
It's the right on the right on it. That part of the S is missing.
Yep. So we would just scrub back just a tiny bit. 7, 7, and we'd hit S again to split that item.
One item added. 5, 0, 5, 0, 2.
And then we're gonna split it again on the right side. 7, 6.
One item added. 6, 0, 2, 5.
Item 5 is the middle again. So we're going to go to item 5 and press Control Alt Space just to make sure I'm on the right item. 7.
And then
7.
Oops.
7. I actually left a tiny bit too much there on the last item, so.
Undo change item selection. Undo split items.
6.
5.
7. 6.
One counting 5 items.
6.
One item added. 6, 6, 5.
7, 7, 7. There we go. Now it's the right item. So I just undid that and then I redid the split. Now that's a better 7. So now this item I'm just going to cut.
One item removed. 5, 0. Metronome.
6.
One item added. 6.
7. Oops, that's a little bit off, so let's move it. 7. With 4. 7. There you go. 7. 7. Now, let's go back a couple items, because I'm going to show you what just happened. Since that 7 was in the middle of stuff and we moved it with cutting and pasting it.
3. 4.
5. 6. 7. So that 6 is there, but there's some silence in between, and you would have to basically move everything down if you didn't want the silence there in between the 5 and the 6. 3.
You mean
four,
move everything left
five.
Or right, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Move everything left or right. You're correct. So I would have to move everything horizontally. 3, 4, 5. See where that 6 should be is on the beat, the you know, and it's instead not. It's 2 beats off. Well, there is a way to fix this more easily instead of having to manually move everything. And that is known as ripple. So who can guess what ripple editing might do if you were using it?
Well, it looks like it removes, you delete something, it moves the stuff to the right of the deletion to the point where the deletion began. It essentially, it's like delete hole in Sonar.
Yeah, so it'll move things, as he just said, it'll move things left or I think even right. Like if you move something from the left side, it'll move it all back or forward. So imagine sort of a set of dominoes, sort of the domino effect. It all kind of ripples down when you take out a domino, or it all moves when you take out a domino.
When you're trying to find the very first piece of audio, like the start of an or an or the start of Jessica 7, and that transient doesn't put you on quite the right spot, and you use the scrub to go, let's say, go left a little bit, Sometimes the scrub is audible, so I can hear the very beginning of the word, and sometimes it's not, and it's because it has that variable sort of play rate. I was wondering if anybody else had any tips on how to get to the exact beginning of an item, either audibly or in some other way.
Yep, there's a...
Your zoom level has an impact on that.
Yep, zoom. If you zoom in smaller or shorter, you can hear more or less of something.
I find that sometimes there's a little bit of a lag when I hit the key. I don't know if that's my computer or not, but it's like the machine winding up, sort of.
It's annoying, and there's a setting somewhere to fix that, and I couldn't seem to find it.
I kind of find it useful because it keeps me from having to zoom in a great deal when doing little tiny edits, because I can just sort of tap the key, and I use that to my advantage. But if you don't like that, that is actually a byproduct of Windows. There's a key repeat thing in your keyboard, and that, ironically, is the thing that actually has something to do with it, because what is actually happening is Windows says, oh, they're holding this key down. I should, because they're still continuously holding this key down, so I guess they do want that to repeat. So there's that period of time where Windows actually stops passing the arrow key through because it thinks that you're... Yeah, and so that's what actually creates that hiccup at the beginning. If you don't like that, then play with your key repeat rate in your keyboard settings in Windows, and that will affect the way Reaper scrubs. Now, I think it's kind of useful because it reminds me of just sort of nudging the reel along versus just grabbing it and...
Sticking it somewhere?
Not even sticking it somewhere because you wouldn't pull it off the thing, but, you know, just...
The other...
Just moving a great bit of the tape.
Bren was talking about moving to beginnings and ends of items, and sometimes you want to do that. You want to get to the beginning of an item that you were working on, and you just want to hear where it starts or whatever. You can do Control-7... And Control-9. Numpad 7 moves to the left edge of the item, and Control-Numpad 9 moves to the right edge of the item. Alternatively, Control-Shift-Comma moves to the left edge, and Control-Shift-Period moves to the right edge. So the beginning and end of your word, sort of thing. Monica had a question.
Yes. My question was just so I can understand... Like when you're splitting the item, let's say the first time you did yours, mm-hmm. like you have the full recording and then you split the item. Where does the full record, like let's say you only split it one time, where does the full recording go? Does it move to the right? Or I'm going to do it later, of course, but.
So you're actually splitting your file that you originally worked with. It doesn't move anywhere. But you're not destructively splitting it like you would in Goldwave. So you're just making splits in the file, and the project is showing you that you're making splits in the file. But if you actually went and looked for the original file, you could still find the original file without splits.
No, what I meant was you hear that there's two items
on the track.
On the project, the track. So your one, would that be the first item, and your other part would be the second? Okay.
Yep. And you're just you're just splitting the bigger item into smaller chunks. Okay. Make sense?
And then, yes. And then when you move that 7, you did the split. You cut and pasted it. Could you cut and paste it instead of, obviously there's like different ways of doing things. So you could have just cut and moved it down and pasted it somewhere else. But
that's what I did.
Yeah.
So I took the 7, I split on the left and I split on the right so that it was its own item. Took the 7, cut it, then moved past and split where the 6 was, and then pasted it.
Okay. Thanks.
The problem now, though, is that there's a big old silence where 7 was. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I was going to say about the left arrow, like when you tap the keys, I noticed yesterday that if I just tapped to scrub, it wouldn't move. So I kind of know what Ben's talking about. So I decided just to hold it down a little bit. Then I could hear it move, if that helps.
Yeah, I always hold mine down as well, to be fair. When I scrub, I hold mine down a bit. I don't generally tap.
Thank you.
Tapping never gives you any audio, does it?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear any audio when I just tapped it. So that's why I had to zoom
to about 27.
Yeah,
I zoom to about 27 pixels or 19 if I'm kind of like when I'm editing speech generally. And so I can hold it down and I'm kind of very speeding through it about 1.5x. And then when I get to somewhere I need to edit, it's still fine enough. Would you like a demo or is this irrelevant?
Yes, I would like a demo. I think it's very relevant. I've got mine at about 25, and like you, I tap as well, and sometimes don't. I think I'm wondering whether it's an artifact of the fact that we used to work so much with reels.
Perhaps. All right. We're going to use...
Well, I am what is known as a specialist.
Him.
No!
And I'm going to zoom to 19 in my case. Who remembers how to zoom out?
It's dash, or not dash, but plus and minus.
Number lock. Yep. Number lock, dash.
Yep, you guys are both right. You can also play with alt, shift, dash, and equals to play with the zoom on the keyboards that don't have numpads, but I like my numpad. I enjoy it. It is good. So I'm going to hold down the right arrow key, having zoomed towards 19 point some odd pixels.
Specialist is...
And I released it. I'm going to hold it down again.
Another word, actually, I could...
Hear how it hiccup? It spun up a little bit, and then it hiccuped, and then it took off? That's the key repeat in Windows doing that.
For sales. Person, I work in the, as you said, the store, in a retail environment. I work...
So let's say I wanted to get to I work. Let's say I wanted to cut.
As you said, work as for sales person.
I want his breath, and then I want to make a big old cut. See, that was me just tapping the arrow keys. Can you hear that? Or do you want me to turn it up to exaggerate what's going on?
Turn it up a little bit, if you could, please.
Okay. I'll turn it up a lot.
Yeah, so that's the tape moving sound, but there's no audio underneath it sometimes.
Well, it's the breath. Here's a breath. That's me holding the left arrow across the breath, and I'm going to hold the right arrow key. Here we go. Left. Now I'm just going to tap the right arrow key. Now that's the space between the end of the breath and the first part of the eye.
Are you getting right, the first part of the eye with a single key press and it's audible?
Yeah, the is the first part of the eye.
Okay, that's what I cannot seem to get to work consistently. So, but that's it's ideal when it works like that.
So I'm going to hit the left bracket key. And then just hold this right arrow down.
Work in the, as you said, the store, in a retail environment. I work.
Okay. Gonna hold down the left arrow. Right.
In a retail environment.
I'm just tapping the left and the right arrow to really kind of get where I want. Right bracket, and now my edit is thus.
Sales person. I work in the store.
And, yeah, so on. And if you want me to make another one, I will. And I can use items to do it.
Oh, edit out that
Let's use items to do it. To get this...
Sales person. I work...
Should I do anything with Ripple yet, Jessica?
I was about to do story time.
Yes, let's have story time.
We have story time.
Thomas the Tank Engine was very upset. I'm just not understanding Reaper, he grumbled. Well, let me explain it to you, said the Fat Controller. When you've got Ripple editing turned on, it's like when you've got Annie and Clarabelle hooked up. When you move, they move. But if you don't, then they stay right where they are. Well, I'm glad you explained that to me, said Thomas, because I never would have known otherwise. And with that, he went to sleep in the engine shed, a happy engine.
Yeah.
So that's Ripple. If you ever get confused, just think of Thomas the Tank Engine and his cars.
Another analogy is marbles. If you have marbles on a table and then you remove some of the marbles from the center of the line of marbles, apart from you losing some of your marbles, you have a hole there. If the table is sloped, you have Ripple on, and gravity, being the accommodating thing that it is, will make the marbles slide to fill the gap. So, if Ripple is on, you close the gap. Now, there are two ways of having Ripple editing on. There is Ripple per track, which means that if you have Thomas and company on a track, and some of the cars go away, then the other cars are going to roll up to fill in the gap. Same with the marbles, etc. But none of the other tracks are going to be affected. And if you have Ripple set to all tracks, and you split something off as an item and delete it on one track, it's going to act the same way as if you were doing a time selection. It's going to remove all of the audio across the project.
Does that mean it splits off items on every other track? So basically you have the same sized items on other tracks and it cuts those items out also?
It sure does.
Dangerous.
It's the same trick as if you were doing a time selection and you deleted everything. So if you're like, oh, well, that's cool. I split what I want deleted off as an item on one track, but I want everything else to follow. Okay, well, this is an item. I could go to the beginning and the end of the item, and I could put it in the time selection and delete it. Or I could just set Ripple to all tracks, navigate to the item, select it, delete it, call it a done deal. So it does have its uses. It is dangerous, but it is useful. So to edit out the if I have Ripple off and I split it off as an item.
In the store that's known as the Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here.
So let's make him say the Arrowhead Apple Store.
In the
split with
S or A.
Yep, either case will work.
The store that's known as the Arrowhead. I work in the Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here.
Now I want to undo that, don't I? Because I don't want that big gap there. And I want to turn Ripple per track. And the way to toggle Ripple editing, by the way, is with Alt-P. Repeated presses of Alt-P will toggle from off to Ripple per track to Ripple all tracks. And as Jessica pointed out earlier, you can always check to see which mode you're in by pressing Alt-Shift-P.
I work at the Arrowhead Apple Store.
Now, we have two these. Let's decide together which the we want.
I work in the Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in...
Should we go to try to get the first or the second the?
I'll take the first one out.
Shall we make an item of it, or shall we do it through means of a time selection? I mean, it's going to end up the same way. We're going to further refine the edit anyway, and it's going to come up the same. It's going to be an item. But through which means of extraction shall we do this? Should we practice items?
Yep. Item.
Okay. Yeah, let's do this. All right.
I work in the...
In the... Ooh, slur. Mmm. Challenge. I like it. Now, the way I'm doing this is I'm doing something you can't do with a reel, and I'm just pressing space to play stop very quickly so that my cursor resets back to where the scrubbing left it. So I think I'm going to zoom in a little more. That should do it. I'm going to split it with S.
The arrowhead.
The second the is already an item. So I've just got the first the as an item, which I may or may not like when I delete it. Let's find out how I did. And if I didn't do very well, we're going to learn some things that can be done to patch it up.
In the Arrowhead Apple Store, it's here in...
That's good.
That's okay. We can make it better.
When you're scrubbing, is that moving the edit cursor only, or is that move the play cursor as well?
In our case, both.
So What's the distinction between the edit cursor and the play cursor? Do I have to really worry about the fact that they can be in different places, or does the play cursor move to the edit cursor?
Fortunately. In our case, fortunately, no. Most of the time.
I was going to say...
So no distinction for us.
No.
Most of the time.
But be careful, because if you don't, especially with items, I've done this before, if you're playing a file and you press S before you pause to move your edit cursor, it'll put the item at your play cursor, like where your play cursor was. So you might have put it where you didn't want it to go.
Okay, but for the normal case, when you're scrubbing, that is moving the play cursor, yes?
It's moving both.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
No problem. There's a guy on YouTube, I think his name is like Voice Booth Junkie or something like that. And he's a brilliant guy. He uses Reaper for all of his voiceover narrations. And he is doing things on YouTube that is making me a very jealous person. So he's showing how he narrates an audiobook. And while he's listening to it, he has a clicker like he'd use for dog training. And as he makes a mistake, he uses a clicker to delineate those passages. So while he's playing it, he's scrubbing ahead inaudibly with his edit cursor, looking at the transients and the waveform, finding those mistakes and visually editing them out, and then listening to it when his play cursor catches up. So he's editing ahead while he's proof listening. He doesn't have to pause and scrub and any of that stuff. His play and his edit cursors are not linked. And I'm jealous, because that is so cool and so quick.
I don't like him either.
Oh, so jealous. Okay, so let's make this edit better.
Person. I work in the Arrowhead Apple store. It's here in...
In the Apple. You want me to just spit.
I work in the Arrowhead Apple.
I mean, it's not bad, but like I said, we can make it better. We can make it better by doing two things. One, we can take advantage of the fact that our default item behavior, and you can play with this in project settings, is such that if you put two items over top of each other, they will crossfade from one to the other. The item mix behavior is set that way by default. And so we can make in and the...
I work the Arrowhead in the Arrowhead app.
Fade into each other. We can make them crossfade a little bit by pressing numpad 4 on
the arrow
the and moving it on top of the last part of in. Let's scrub back a bit and listen to what that did.
In the Arrowhead Apple store, it's here.
And we have a cooler edit because we just created a baby crossfade. Let's say we wanted the cadence to be different. I'm going to undo this, and it's going to say undo slip media items.
In the Arrowhead app, the Arrowhead.
Let's say for some reason I want him to say in the Arrowhead Apple store. I don't, but just for sake of the fact that we can play with cadences and things. I'm going to, again, making sure ripple is on per track so I can slide everything to the right, hold numpad 6 for a little bit to create a gap and thus silence between in and the.
In the Arrowhead Apple store, it's the Arrowhead.
Now let's say
the arrow.
I want the th of the to be a little less obvious. I can fade it in. And the way I can do that is scrub into this item a bit.
The arrow.
Past the th of the to
the arrow.
E, or I guess, if you will. And I'm going to press Ctrl-Alt-I. That action is called fade items into cursor, and it does exactly what is advertised. From the beginning of the item to the cursor, it applies a fade in. By the way, in case you ever need it, Ctrl-Alt-O fades items out from cursor. It's a very quick way to deal with chopped off breaths or things like that. Just fade them in or fade them out.
The Arrowhead.
So now, if we go back.
I work in the Arrowhead Apple store.
And if you wanted a bigger fade.
The Arrowhead. The Arrow.
Remember, the whole thing is non-destructive. You can just move the cursor farther into the item and press Ctrl-Alt-I, and it reapplies the fade.
I work in the Arrowhead Apple store.
And I actually like that one better, so I would keep it if I wanted that cadence. Questions?
So the fade happens from the beginning of the item to wherever your cursor is?
Yes.
Very cool.
And that could be as little as milliseconds or as great as minutes.
I might try and reapproach that section of the Darren piece. You know what I'm talking about, where he's talking about adding Windows 7 and clearing his throat. And I'm like, where the flip do I cut this mess?
Well, you can try growing things on top of each other. You can try fading. You can try, you know.
See the problem I'm having with that specific one, because I did the Apple one, and that was relative, not effortless by any means, but relatively easy because the edits certainly suggested themselves.
Could you explain when the items overlapped the first way you did it, right?
No, yes. The first way, yeah. He made them overlap each other. So he made the edges go on top of each other just a little bit by moving them. So kind of imagine moving a little piece of paper on top of another piece of paper.
I could try to find another place to edit and crossfade that way again if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear you do that one again, too.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can find it.
Actually, when you can crossfade larger sections, so I wonder whether...
Oh, yeah, you can.
The Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in Glendale, Arizona, which is
this could be fun.
The Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in Phoenix, and west of Phoenix, which is just west of Phoenix, Arizona, which is Glendale, Arizona. The Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in Glendale, Arizona.
He had to be in Arizona, didn't he?
Yes. So here's what we have.
I work in the Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in Glendale, Arizona.
That's not bad as it stands. It's okay. Edit. That's a fair one. But.
Glendale.
Because in Glendale, because he said in or some variant thereof. So I took the first part of the first time he said in, and since the second time he said in was relatively the same pitch as the first time, I cut in the N of in. And I did it in such a way that's okay. It's not a bad edit.
It's here in Glendale, Arizona.
But you hear it kind of hiccup a little bit here.
It's here in Glendale.
Hear it?
It's here in Glendale, Arizona, which is just west of Phoenix. Glendale.
But I can, with rippling per track, or ripple all tracks, because there's just one track in this case, just tap numpad 4.
Glendale.
A couple of times. Now let's scroll back a bit and listen.
The Arrowhead Apple Store, it's here in Glendale, Arizona, which is just west of Phoenix.
Look at that.
Because Derek was talking about crossfading items and fading the little fades, there's a preference I wanted to point out to you guys. In preferences, under the project tree, on media item defaults, there's a couple things you might want to take a look at. And the first one is create automatic fade in and out per items. So that basically means that every time you make an item and you're editing, it's going to make a tiny, tiny little click if it's on, and it's on by default. And you can actually change the amount of milliseconds you want this fade to be in the edit box. So this is in the project tree, branch of the tree, and underneath where it says, when you expand it, it says item defaults.
It's those automatic fades that are causing extra clicks after edits then?
That can be part of it. It can be the fact that they're off. If they're off, it can cause clicks if you're not careful. And there's a couple ways to combat those. Derek did just talk about one of them. And then you can turn this fade thing on as well. And so, especially if you're editing speech, that makes it a tiny little bit easier because the fades actually kind of very subtly fade little bits away. At the same time, if you keep tabbing, overlap and crossfade items when splitting is another one. So if you're trying to mess with your crossfades a little bit as well, I think you can change that here, like the way Derek was moving the item on top of the other item or the edges of it. And then you have the shapes that you can use. So the problem here is that these shapes, unfortunately, if you press the button, are a good deal of inaccessible because they just say menu. So sorry, guys.
But Kevin's lucky because he can see the shapes. Go, Kevin.
I'll go looking for them.
So I did want to point that out because you can customize how much of the tiny little fade the item has if you have this on, or you can even turn it off. Now, let's say you're editing something and you cut off part of an item or you moved everything because, you know, you wanted the silence or whatever, but now your item is kind of cut off something. Or the breath is hiccuped or something. You can grow...
Or the, part of a word's missing.
Right. You can grow the edge of the item.
Oh, there's stuff on the... I'm being a bad person and muting myself to make bad items. Oh, no. Anyway.
Yeah, he's making bad items. So...
Yes.
Yeah. So you can grow the edges of the items, either the left or right edge, or you can shrink the left or right edge of the item if you've got a little bit too much. The keys for that are Control 4 and 6.
Numpad 4 and 6, yep.
Yeah.
To grow and shrink the left, and Alt to grow and shrink the right edge.
Yep. And
is that different than Control Shift left bracket and right bracket and Alt Shift that we talked about last week? Or is that the same thing?
Control Shift left and right bracket moves the item by grid division. So that's a musical thing.
I think he was talking about Control left and right bracket and Alt left and right. The shrinking
yeah,
of
that's
the time,
time
selection.
Selection. That's
shrinking of the time selection. It's similar to that. You're shrinking the edges of the item. So if you've already made a split, but you made it in the wrong spot, you can grow it out or shrink it out. Same happens with shrink left edge of items, Control, comma, and period, and right is Alt, comma, and period as well.
Yeah,
the right
we're duplicating
side.
Duplicating them
for those who don't have,
don't
a, numpad.
Have a numpad.
Now, we're going to finish my counting exercise, but we'll show what I have so far, and you'll see where I kind of broke it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, oh dear, 9. So 10 is off, so we can fix that. But we also have to fix number 9, because 9 doesn't come after 10. But who can figure out what problem there might be with the number 9?
R70.
Based on how I said it. Let's go back in here.
R5.
Without the metronome.
Metronome.
Oh dear, 9.
It's right on top of that R, and oh dear, that's going to be very tight.
Mm-hmm. It is. There is... at least in this case, actually a pretty cool way I found to get that 9 sort of on its own. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get approximately to where it is. So I'm going to press play and I'm going to get approximately there. 10. Oh, dear, 9. Oh, dear. Dear, 9. 9. So you hear that little click? 9. Because it's right on the R. 9. See?
I'm glad that happened.
All right, now.
Can someone remind me of the command to go to the beginning and end of a time selection?
Beginning and end of a time selection. Beginning of a time selection is the home key. The end is the end key.
Thank you, sorry.
No worries. So let's hear this again. 9, 9, 9. Nice little click, right?
Sounds like a Beatles song.
So what we can actually do here... this doesn't always work, but it does work on a lot of cases that I've noticed. You can hit the letter Z, 9, 9, and that moves me to the next zero crossing in the item. Does anyone know what a zero crossing is?
It's beginning
of audio essentials.
It's the beginning of the audio.
If you think this is a visual thing, but a waveform rises above and below a center line. Sine waves do so in a gentle curve. Sawtooth waves don't. Square waves don't. But you want to edit at what's called the zero crossing point, which is where the waveform intersects essentially the timeline, because it eliminates clicks and pops, you hope.
Yep. Basically, you're absolutely right. So when the wave sort of crosses at zero or at a zero crossing is where you want to try to edit, especially in a situation like that. Because now if I 9, 9, 9, just play that, there's no more little clicky that I can hear anyway. So now if I press S, it's at the zero crossing.
One item added.
So now I have the item number 9, just without its clicky. 9, 9, 9.
One item added.
And I'm actually going to take that breath off that, like where I was, because I don't need that there.
10, 0, 2.
And I'll just go to the last item there and delete that. Now, 9 is still after 10. So we got to move 9. So we're going to get to 9. Whoops. There's my last item with Control F arrow 9 9, and I'm gonna Control X this.
One item remove, 802.
10. So, if I Control X this 9, and I moved to 10, and if I have Ripple on, and I paste this item, what's gonna happen to good old number 10?
He'll get pushed over.
Yep, he's gonna get pushed aside and moved over.
One item added.
10, 7, 8. 9, 10, 8, 9. Whoops, let's move
items
that.
Move items.
9, 10, 9, 10. So 9 got moved, and so did 10, because I was moving 9.
802 counting, 902 counting, 902 counting.
10 is still a little bit off. 10, 10.
802 counting.
9, 10. See, it's a little bit off. So you can just take that last 10.
90, 90, 90,
and move
count,
it just a little bit down. 10. Oops.
Move items,
I would have cut it, went to the beat, and put it on the...
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah, I was just thinking that too. So you can actually do that as well. So let's do that. So let's go to the last item, which is number 10. And let's cut item number 9 in this case.
One item removed. Bar 4.
8. 9.
Bar 5.
Oops. 9. 9. Okay, so I'm going down, navigating by beat with control page down. That's how I'm navigating by the beat on the metronome. And I can navigate by measure with page down. I can go to the beginning and end of the measure with alt home and alt end. So I'm going to put this 10 on beat 3, see how it goes.
One item added.
So now I'm going to hit alt home to get to the top of the measure. Oh, dear. Oops, I left something there. So 9,
bar 4,
7, 8, 9, 10. Ooh, I moved the wrong item, actually. Oh, dear. Hold on. 10, 9, 10, 10, 10.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I know what I did
you
wrong.
You gotta trim the...
end. Yeah, I know what I did wrong. 10.
Yeah.
One item at 10, 0. One item removed. 9, 0.
10.
One item removed. Bar 4, B1.
Okay, there we go. So now I have the 10 again where I want to be. So 7, 8, 9.
Bar 5.
9.
Bar 6, bar 5, B3. One item added. 9, 0, 2, counting, 1, 9.
9, 10, 9. Oh, it's almost there.
9, 0, 2, 9, 0, 2, counting, 100.
But now you can just kind of move him. 10.
Bar 1, B1.
There you go.
There you go.
Bar 5, B4, 14.
So now if we just go back, 9, 10, see, 9, 10. So just to recap
there's
that.
There's a little breath there.
Oh, where? 9.
There's a little.
9, 10. Oh, at the end.
Should she delete that breath, or should she just put a little fade on it? What would you guys advise?
Fade. Fade sounds nice.
I'd okay. delete it on my first part.
I would delete it.
I would too.
After 10, otherwise I'm finishing the sentence.
That was sort of my thought too. I would have deleted it because 10 is the last number. So that's why I would have deleted it.
If you don't want to delete it, then put number backwards and then, right, 10, 9, 8. Then I'll see useful reason why to keep it. But I would just delete it.
Yeah. But if we did put his little fade, just to see what it did. 10.
Fade out with control alt O.
9. 10. Let me take that metronome off.
You have to go back a little more.
Bar 4, B1.
7. 8. 9. 10.
Almost start because it's a very quick, the default fade curve has a very quick end. So start at probably the A of 10.
The end, okay.
I know of no other way intelligently of describing the kind of edits 10, I'm thinking other than utter.
10. 9.
Play that again.
10. 9. 10. There.
It's almost got it, yeah.
So that's what the fade would do. So that is items. And that 9 was a good... I'm glad it clicked. I'm glad it didn't actually like not click on me because I wanted to show that because there is the odd time when you're editing speech, as Paul said or Ben said, if someone's talking and they're slurring or they're whatever and you're trying to get sort of in between the words, and you get kind of a little click because you got the tiny bit of the last word and then the word, right? Because they slurred together. So that zero crossing can sometimes really help you, that occasional time that you need to edit to a zero crossing. In single track land, you make it a point to almost always edit at zero crossings. You don't always have to here because of those little miniature fades that I was just talking about, especially in speech. But that occasional zero crossing will help you if you find little clicks.
The only editor I know of that does the crossfades like Reaper does in single track is APH's Studio Recorder, but it's also designed for speech, and so that's its default behavior. So I was told when I asked about this years ago.
Does Goldwave do that?
It can. I don't think it does by default.
No, okay.
Goldwave also doesn't do it by default either.
Goldwave doesn't do it by default, but what Goldwave does have is it does have a zero crossing toggle. So when you edit to zero crossings, you always either have them on or off. Like you don't go Z or whatever like you would in SoundForge to go to every zero crossing. It's a toggle.
Yeah, remember there's a checkbox snap to zero crossing, and when you put a marker down, it automatically snaps it to the closest zero crossing.
Yep. Studio Recorder does the crossfade trick. It'll do the automatic sort of grow over top thing like I did with... So the In Glendale edit would have just crossfaded itself.
I actually think, Derek, with the In Glendale too, like if you had done like the way you're doing it, if you had gone to the zero crossing, that might have been just a tiny bit more finite. Like you might have got it tighter.
I mean, try it. You want to try it?
Yeah. It worked with my 9, so it might work with the in because of the way the in.
Let's
see.
Arizona, which is Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in Glendale.
Undo again.
Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in Glendale, Arizona.
All right, let's see what we can do with zero crossings. Now, if you truly want to edit to zero crossings, you have to turn your item automatic fading off.
Yes.
I generally do this when I'm editing music, especially loop-based music. If I'm editing loops and things together, I don't need little crossfades popping in and out. Speech, I like to cheat, especially if I'm in a hurry. When we edit these classes, by the time we're done and we've applied thing in Reaper that will, based on some very specific criteria, do automatic trimming of silence and so on, plus all the edits that we do, believe it or not, there are thousands of items in the project when it's all said and done. The podcasts that you hear are culminations of probably 8 or 9 hours of work and over 1,000 items in the project. Just to give you an idea.
Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in...
Z.
In...
Z. Oops.
Glendale.
Let me go back a bit.
Glendale, Arizona.
There we go. Now let's see what that did.
The Arrowhead Apple Store. It's here in Glendale, Arizona, which is just west of Phoenix.
You're right.
Yeah.
Zero Crossing took care of it.
Zero Crossing took care of it.
I didn't have to do any overlaps or anything. Now, if you liked the overlapping, of course, that's not wrong either.
Nope.
It's just another approach.
And I brought up the Zero Crossing because, like I said, I find sometimes with the little clicks, I find sometimes it is hard to sort of get rid of them or make them sound when I overlap something. It doesn't sound as natural to me. And so the occasional zero crossing for me, I feel sometimes makes it sound more natural. The other reason I brought them up and why Derek also brought the fade thing up about making sure it's on or off. If you're editing a vocal performance and somebody has a bunch of times that they've recorded an item and they're singing, you can actually end up with a bunch of little tiny items. Like if they've recorded over an item and then they've recorded again over an item, and you can actually end up with a bunch of little tiny items. And if you have those little fades on, the items have like little clicks sort of in them because they fade in and out.
Pop in and out.
Yeah.
Remember, we briefly talked about the concept of takes and how an item contains one or more takes. So your project contains tracks, and your tracks contain items, and your items can contain takes. And so what happens if you have an item that has multiple takes is that you can naturally split at any point in that item and then switch between takes. So you can record a song twice or three times, and then you can go through and do splits and split maybe at each line and figure out which passage was sang the best out of each take. And then you can do this whole grow and shrink thing, moving items on top of each other to kind of crossfade breaths and things like that. So the transitions between the takes are smooth. And so that process is called comping, and it's very cool. to be able to do that. And people like Kevin Reeves, who some of you may know, love take comping in Reaper. He says, you know, it is beautiful. He loves it. In fact, it was his discovery of the fade item in and out from cursor keys that made the key map. He had discovered those actions, told them to us, and we'd put them in the key map and have them today. That was thanks to Kevin Reeves. When you have an item with multiple takes and the previous take's done, so the first take of the item, you're singing along and you hit a horrible note. You stop. Okay. Horrible. Stop. Okay. And then you back up a bit and you're singing and you sing past the horrible part. The previous take and thus the length of the item comes to an end and you keep recording. So what you then have created is two items. One, an item containing two takes. The first take, the part of the performance you're recording over. And the second part, the recording that you've made to replace the wrong note. And then the next item is everything past the end of the previous item as defined by the initial recording or take, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so if you have automatic fades on, there's a 10 millisecond hiccup where that quick fade out and then fade back in occurs. It almost sounds like a tape dropout.
Actually, you can show them there what the clip will sound like. If you just split at the G of Glendale, whatever it says, you might get the G note sounding very cool as it should, right? If you split right there at the beginning of the G sound.
And interact with, as far as my
I want to see if I can, in the middle of I, split and see if we can get the little click.
My job
right in the middle of the I. I'm going to do a split.
My job.
No, it's not going to do it. I turned the fades off on mine. Hang on. Let me put them back. Suffice it to say, though, it does click a little bit. And when you hear it, if you hear it, you'll know exactly why. And you'll be able to do something about it. If this is something that never bothers you, then don't worry about it. But should you hear that effect, then you'll know what to do about it.
I actually have an example. I found a vocal where I broke it. If you listen to this one part where this item. And maybe my heart could still fall as hard at 23. Did you hear those kind of little drops?
Let me tell you a story about that. I record a lot of music. And I thought my XPC was broken down. I sent it off to get it repaired because of that.
Oh no!
I was like, the hard drive is dying. That's what I thought. I thought the hard drive is dying, and you know, so the XPC people—they're not reputable people. They were like, "Yeah, your computer is messed up. Send it back." So I did, and I don't know.
That's all it was the item fades.
Yep.
So if you turn off the fading, then there wouldn't be those little dropouts.
Nope.
Would you get clicks?
It took
if you're really good at cutting at zero crossings, you shouldn't.
It took me 10 years to figure that out. I was like, I didn't understand why Sonar didn't do that and Reaper did. And I was like, it must be my gear. It must be, you know. I went through audio interfaces and computers and everything just trying to. I was like, still
happened. Is Alt-X the key to turn this thing off by chance?
It doesn't work. I've tried it. It does not work.
For some reason.
I think I know why. Alt-X turns a crossfade off, not the clicks in auto. That's called autofade, not crossfade. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
You need to go into item properties and uncheck.
Yep.
It in there. So shift F2, a couple of shift tabs or tabs, and you find autofade on checkbox checked.
Or you can go into the preferences and check it preference wide, where I showed.
But Gianluca is right, because if those fades are already established.
Oh, yeah.
Then, so if you select all the items on that vocal track and then you hit Shift F2.
Well, let's do that. How many do I have on this track, anyways?
3,462,900.
You
have a nice
voice. There's all the effects. Lots of effects.
She doesn't need that one. She doesn't need that
no,
one.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't need that one.
No. I know for a fact she doesn't.
Wait, what are you talking about? Oh,
agreed.
Now I'm trying to actually remember how to select all the items on a track. Is it Control Shift A?
Yeah, Control Shift A. Control Alt A.
Control Alt A.
11 items selected.
There you go. And you said
if you wanted to use Osara's context, you could have navigated to one of the items and then selected it. But Control Alt A is certainly quicker.
Yeah. And then you said...
if you do control A, Derek will select all items in the
whole
project.
That's all items in the whole project.
When you
Right, but that's actually fine in this case, because in case she punched in over the instrumental or accidentally split the instrumental into a couple of items, that'd take care of the possible fades that could have...
There's another way to do that. If you select only the instrumental items, you can do application key and heal splits. That would also take care of that.
Yep. So he said if we went into Shift F2, with that's item properties, by the way, guys, and we'll get into more of that, actually, I think, like 2 weeks from now.
Media item properties, 11 items selected, dialogue volume, slash pan, 0.00 dB center channel mode, MS edit, selected, 0 2 vocals.
We were looking for what?
Okay, button, position, length, time, faded, edit, selected, curve, edit,
anything
selected,
to do with fades.
Button, curve, time, radio, button, check.
I think it's called no out of fade, checkbox,
time, radio,
checked.
Button, check. Faded, edit, selected, 0.00, curve, edit, selected, 0.00.
Wait, take that out, take those off.
Selected, 0.00.
Yeah, that, I think that's where it is.
Delete those.
Mm-hmm. Zero.
Curve edit selected 0.00. Fade time radio button. Faded edit blank. Curve edit selected 0.00.
Yeah.
Button. Fade out edit selected 0.00.
Delete that.
Yep.
Curve edit selected 0.00. Button. Snap offset edit selected 0.00. Item time base combo box track slash drop. Item mix behavior. Active fade combo. Loop source checkbox. Mute checkbox. Not block checkbox. Not no auto fade check. Play all fade. No auto fade checkbox. Not checked.
Right there. No auto fades.
That too.
Checked. Yep. All takes checkbox not checked. Take properties. Left pitch adjust. Semitones. Edit selected 0.00. Playback
rate. That's
edit,
it pretty much.
Take, take pan normal button. Invert, take pit, stretch, opt, take section, reverse check property, choose new, rename, nuts, loop, cancel, apply button.
And apply.
Thinking out loud, modify, broad,
theoretically.
R12.
Maybe my heart could still fall as hard at 23. Nope. Still there. Oh, I know why, actually. That's not going to work. So this particular project, when I didn't know better, has what are
you
called
glued
items.
Oh, you destructively printed it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
When I didn't know any better.
Did you re-record it?
No.
That thing?
No, but I made another version of the project because I actually went into the undo history and went all the way to the beginning where before I even glued everything, and then I fixed it.
Oh, okay. So, question. I believe you could have done it differently. If you glue something...
So what is the glued thing? What is that?
So gluing items is actually kind of useful. So let's say, for instance, like you have a sound effect or something that you don't want people to use for some reason, or you want to give them something, or you want to take part of a podcast. Derek likes to talk about this one a lot. Let's say you have like a really, really, really long podcast and you're going to use it as part of your project. But you don't want to, you know, give the person a really, really, really long podcast, right? You don't want to give them 40-something megs of podcast as well as whatever else is in your project or however big your podcast is. So what you can actually do is you can make a selection or an item of the part that you're going to use and then glue it. And what that basically does is it makes a copy of just that item and puts it in the project or any other items together if you glue them. So it does make a destructive copy of the item. Now, the original item doesn't go away, but you could essentially make it go away because you have the glued copy.
So let's say you do a bunch of take comping from a vocal or a guitar part or whatever. You've done a few takes and, you know, okay, well, the first part from take 3 is good and we can jump to take 1 and this and whatever. And this is brilliant and we've got all of our items grown and shrunk. And so we can solo these tracks and we can listen to them and we can see that these are very nice. The edits are very smooth, very hard to hear, if possible at all. And we have 48 items on this track. Wow. Okay. What if we just want one item on the track? That's when we can glue selected items. And so we can press Ctrl+A. We can press the applications key. And in that context menu, you'll find various gluing options. Also, the item menu in Reaper has them as well. If you know you just want to glue all your selected items, though, then press Ctrl+Shift+G. So if you have your 40-some-odd items on a track, all you have to do is hit Ctrl+Alt+A, Ctrl+Shift+G, and you have one file destructively rendered containing the glued contents of those items. And so then when you, for example, then would go to the file menu and clean your project directory, all of those takes would be
removed.
Yep.
Except the ones that you glued with.
Yep. Well, no, except for the parts of the ones you used to glue with, because it would just be that one file.
Yeah.
On your vocal track.
Is this the same as freezing a track?
No.
No.
Good question, though. Freezing a track takes the effects and everything on the track as they're configured and renders it to a 32-bit floating point file. Huge, massive thing. And this lets you then free up system resources to do other things. So if you have an incredibly big soft synth that's taking up a lot of CPU, you can freeze its track and then free up your system to do other things.
Mm-hmm. That's how I was sending my buddy piano tracks before I realized you can record the output of the VST. You have a menu. Mm-hmm.
Or you can render an audio stem.
Yep. In the render dialog, there's options to do that. So you can render a mix. You can render your project as stems so that your effects are on the track. You can do all the above. The render dialog is very powerful, and we'll get to that.
So overwhelmed.
Of course. It's amazing. There's so much. Reaper is as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. If you want to do your,
How can you name items so that when you control alt and right, left and right arrow, you hear item names instead of a whole bunch of number gobbledygook? Wouldn't it be easier to keep
the files? Because you can go, I'm trying to remember where to do it. I think it's track defaults in references under project.
Well, you can also do, when you hit Shift F2 on an item, the first thing is a field where you can name it.
Yep. You can name it there.
That's a take name.
Yeah, but if you have only one take on the item, I believe it's even useful, because if you have like two or three takes, then you hit T and Shift T and you switch it back and forth and that thing changes so you know where you are.
Yeah, but then I've tried that, but I have take names, but I should, if I'm going control left and control right arrow and I'm seeing myself move along the items on my track, but I'm not hearing those take names spoken. I'm hearing time positions spoken.
Wait, are you using JAWS?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because you don't have the scripts. It's not Reaper's default behavior. That's because you don't have the script installed in JAWS. So if you go in VDA or you install the script, you will just hear what you're supposed to hear.
Okay.
Quick question. Did we... I was gone for a little while. I had problems with my internet. Did we talk very in-depth about takes? And I will actually go back and listen, but that topic kind of interests me, so...
We don't cover takes a whole lot, unfortunately, but suffice it to say, you can switch between takes with T and Shift T in an item. So if you have recorded a bunch of times and you have like five or six takes, you can switch between takes like that. There's a couple things that I think Derek would rather me not talk about if you're going to edit with takes.
Is that covered more in the Advanced Reaper class?
Advanced Reaper? No, I don't think. Is it? I don't think so.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering whether takes is covered more in depth, just takes in general, or covered more in depth in the Advanced class.
Not really. I think actually Derek covered them pretty thoroughly just a few minutes ago.
Okay, that's okay. I'll go back and listen. No worries.
Yeah, no worries. Just keep in mind when you're editing items and you have multiple takes in the item, what could happen. So if you decided to use, take two of item three and take one of item four, for instance, be careful with how that works, because that could end up messing up your cadence when you're editing and stuff when you have multiple takes. So takes are really powerful, but takes are tricky.
One more thing about takes. If you have like items with 8 or 9 takes each and you already chose the correct take for your track, you can select all items and say crop to active take, and that will basically get rid of all the other takes from within the items. So you will have, your one item, one take. So you will not accidentally do T or Shift T and switch to take when you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So takes are very useful, but do your take comping, I would say, first before you actually edit.
Yeah, get your vocals the way you want them. And then, when Jessica's here, it's always usually around Christmas time when we also have the time to track. So like there have been 2 Christmas songs she's done here, and we have without fail used take comping and gluing to take multiple takes to get the ultimate performance, and then use, growing and shrinking items and things like that to overlap between the takes to get the transitions the way we want them, and then we glue them so that we don't have tons of items on each track. So this way she can do things like
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, darling.
And we don't have, things spilling all over the place.
I loved it.
So do I.
So that'll get played around Christmas.
Yeah. It always does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. There are 12 of you, I think. Were there 12 or 15 of you? I can't remember.
I think 12.
Yeah. I want to help on the next Christmas project.
Nice cascade, anyhow.
I don't know what kind of keyboard I'll be playing or what synths I'll be using or whatever I'll be doing, but I want to help.
There you go.
Oh, awesome.
There you go. Thank you.
So a really interesting thing about that and about takes, I think this is kind of a good way to end on it too, is poor Gianluca, I gave him for the last Christmas album, the Osara GoFundMe campaign. They did a Christmas album and I gave him a song and it had like 10 items on it or something. And each item had like 5 takes, just to give you an idea.
Make 9.
9. Okay. 9 takes. So, you know, you can really, especially for someone like me who tends to record and re-record and re-record. I don't like to record things all in one take a lot of times because I just mess up more. So you can really kind of see the power of takes and take comping there. But you want to, you know, get rid of all the ones that aren't used once you're done, because that can get messy. So
now Gianluca has one other thing for us.
Yep. I've seen on the Ripper list that some people asked a very interesting question. The question was something like, how can I copy a piece of a project or a piece of a track without having to split item and I just want to do a time selection, copy and paste it somewhere else. So what I'm going to do here, I have one track here.
Two voice arms, zero. One music.
Well, two tracks, because one two. I'm using for talking to you guys, but
one music, one item.
I have one track, one music, one item. One which is this play. One. And stop. I also put the metronome on.
Play.
So it's on tempo. So let's say I want to take the first part and copying that and then looping it to the second part so it loops again. So it doesn't change. The music doesn't change. So here's how we do it. I'm not going to split items and copy the items and paste it. I'm just going to use a time selection to create the item and copy it for me. It's called smart copy. So what it means is that if it sees a time selection, then it copies what's within the time selection. So the way you do this, now, let's say you have, the first thing we do, we create a time selection with brackets.
Left bracket, set, play.
So from the beginning to
R12, R9, R8. Stop,
here.
Play, stop, right bracket, set selection end.
So I have my time selection here created. What I do now is I want to select this item. I just have one. Okay, so I'm going to do Shift A.
One item selected.
That is
F12. Zanadio/SWS. Select items under edit cursor on selected tracks.
This.
F12. Shortcut help off.
But instead of copying with Control C, that would copy the whole item, I'm going to use Control Shift C.
Control Shift C. One item copied.
One item copied. Now, I want to put this at the end of the track, just to prove that it works.
R121D290. So, Alt-O. Play. R100.
So at the
stop.
End of the track.
R123.
Let me go on R123, whatever. And let me paste it with Control V.
Paste it. One item added.
Now, remember that my selection,
home,
which should still be
play.
There.
Stop.
Let me check.
Control Shift J. R1B10%.
Yes.
End.
Lasts.
Control Shift J. R9B1.
8 measures. So I'm expecting the new item, that is the second item on the track, is 8 measures. So let's play it.
Play.
1, 2, 3. Perfect. So as you saw, I haven't split the item. I just created time selection and used smart copy to copy it out to where I want it to go. That is the end of the project, just to prove that it works. Now, that also works if you have more than one tracks. And if you only want to copy, for example, I don't know, track 2 and track 5, you want to copy only, I don't know, if you have drums and bass and you don't want to copy piano and guitars and vocal, for example. Right, you want to copy 2 out of 5. Well, when you learn how to do non-contiguous selection, we're going to do this experiment again, but with a project that has like more than one track, and we're going to basically select only certain tracks and copy certain parts on those tracks and paste it somewhere else on those tracks. Okay, but this is the idea basically: create a selection, Select your tracks in whatever means you want. Do Shift A. Do Control Shift C to copy or Control Shift X to paste if you want to cut selection. Then go where you want to put it and hit Control V. If you want to put it in the in between, so when you have, now I put it when it was nothing in my timeline. It was over, so the track was over. But if I wanted to put in a part where the track was playing, I would have to split those with A. So we'll do Shift A and then A. Well, no, A, no, A would just include Shift A, so just A. And then Control V with Ripple to all tracks. That would move basically the content of the select the content, basically
of the material
of the material
right.
That I that was there past my time selection that I pasted. So that's the idea here. Your selection of the track, create track selection, select the tracks, Shift A, Control Shift C, go where you want, split if necessary, Control V.
Now,
okay?
If I wanted to take that little section and put it on a separate track, could I just create track two
sure.
and paste it at
sure.
the beginning of track two?
Yes, yes. Yep.
The difference, guys, before we end and stuff, between copy, regular copy, and smart copy is that regular copy ignores your time selection. So it'll just copy whatever items
F12,
are selected.
Sure. Edit copy item slash track slash envelope points depending on focus ignoring time selection.
See? And smart copy does not.
Control Shift C. Edit copy item slash track slash envelope points depending on focus within time selection, if any smart copy.
Makes sense?
If any is related to the time selection, not to the smart copy. Of course. Smart copy is what thing is called, so it's in parent. It's my jaw's not reading it properly. But basically it says, if there is a time selection, then use that to define the start and end point to what to copy, basically.
I'm guessing this is jumping ahead, but could you then say copy only items, say, 1, 3, 6, and 8 from inside that, if you had, say, 10
yes.
items in
Well, non-contiguous selection.
Time selection. We're gonna get
non-contiguous selection. You'll get there.
Well, smart copy. But smart copy
that's
copies the whole time
stuff.
Selection anyway.
Yeah.
Right. You cannot say then
yep.
copy. You need to do non-contiguous for tracks.
Yep.
Okay. You cannot just copy. If you want to copy a bunch of items,
that's copy.
You don't need the smart copy. You just need the non-contiguous.
Yeah. You need
copy.
Copy and you need non-contiguous, and we'll talk the difference. Either next week or the week after, between contiguous and non-contiguous, because non-contiguous is awesome, but it is, you got to get it right. So,
oh yeah.
But the first thing we're doing next week, though, is evaluating edits.
Oh boy!
And so we get to talk about the art and science of editing, and as a reprieve from all of your toil and strife, you'll get to hear some very amusing edits that were done from and or with two, depending on how you want to look at it, the individuals that you're editing as we speak.
Oh, that's pretty much all things items. Next week is, as Derek said, evaluating edits. We're doing nudging, the nudge dialogue. And we
rendering,
should have...
Rendering, all kinds of stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah, we have the rendering stuff coming up next week as well, so...
And we need to have our edit assignments in by next week, that's correct, isn't it? I wanted to wait till
yep.
today because of your item discussion, yeah.
No, fair enough.
Well, you remember you said to me you might want to do that, and you dropped me a little hint last week, I remember, so I thought I'll do that.
So do you think you'll use selection or items? I use both, to be honest. Some things I split and some things I select. It just depends on what it is.
I don't know. All I know is when I use selection, what I come up with didn't sound anywhere near what I wanted it to. So I thought...
I'm also a bit of a both person as well, but I will...
Both here, too.
Most of the time default to... For me, anyways, I will most of the time default to items... If I'm moving big chunks of things around, though, or if I'm nudging things, or if I'm trimming something or whatever, then I really tend to use time selection more and smart copy, because then I can just move it all down. So
I just love that. I love that ability to hold shift down and select on the fly, like you're actually moving reels. For me, it's I feel very much at home.
it's just shift without the alt.
Yeah, it's big part.
Thing that I use time selections most frequently is like when I wanted to get breaths out and stuff like that, and then I refine it with growing and shrinking. That's I find it quickest. So move the breath out, and then if I didn't like it, I just grow, shrink the edge, and move back with ripple per tracks edit if I want that way.
Thank you,
yeah,
because that was my big problem with breaths. Yeah, thank you.
That's what I do. I would just do the selections, and then if I have something that I don't like, either I move the item back to create a little crossfade or just grow or shrink its left edge and then move it back to kind of kill the gap. Or there's a, and I'm jumping ahead here like a lot, there's an SWS action that helps you filling the gaps. And that does all sorts of things like creating crossfades and stretching parts of items. And yeah, it does a bunch of cool stuff that will be useful to probably some of you. I don't know if you guys explained it, that part. I don't think you did in the archives as well, but there's a thing that fills the gaps between two items automatically by using SWS, and it's very powerful. So it's a bullet map to Control Shift F. If you want to give it a try, you can do it.
All right, guys. Whew, that's a lot of stuff in one day, and last week was a lot of stuff, so now you have lots of editing that you can work with.
Oh, cool. There it is.
To help with Mr. Darren or Stan.
And if you want all 48 minutes of that interview, it's a thing. It exists.